Hello, Cornerstone Church. How are you today? We're so delighted to have you this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. This is our first service that we're doing it in conjunction with the streaming as well as the Zoom. I hope you join us for the Zoom, because on the Zoom we will do our communion as well. But you can reach us if you start at 10 o'clock. You'll be online with a number of our other brothers and sisters. If you can't make it at that time, the sermon will be posted even at a later time on our website. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We pray, God, your blessings upon this word. Your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to cut between the bone and marrow, soul and spirit. We love the word of God. Will you place your hands over your heart, say, I am good ground. And the word I receive today shall bring forth much fruit in my heart and in my life. Extend your hands to the pastor. Say, Pastor, you're anointed. You're appointed. You have the green light. So preach the word of God. This morning, I want to speak on the girding our loins about with truth. This is the last piece of the armor that we had talked about before. We have talked about the armor before, but we have not addressed this piece. And actually, it's the first piece that the Roman soldiers put on before they put on the other pieces of the armor. They said that the armor, that the robe that the Roman soldiers had, the clothing of the outer garment that they had, was like a robe. And many times it was mingled with metal to deflect the blades of the enemy or whatever. So it was heavy. And so when they got ready to go to battle, they would gird their loins up. They would take that belt and pull up their robe so that they would have liberty, that they would be able to move around, because if they tried to fight when that robe was loose, they could stumble, they could fall. And some of them actually took it and folded underneath their legs and tucked it in the back like a diaper. And therefore, their legs were open and they were able to move around to be able to fight the enemy. And that's what Paul is saying when he's trying to use this illustration. He's saying, listen, you got to get ready. You're in a fight. And so I want you to stand. I want you to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm. And when you, and with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Now, I want to just focus on that. That we're, one, first of all, we got to stand. We got to get ready for the fight. The fight is not something that's going to, the fight is not something that's going to go away just because you want it to go away. The fight is not going to be something that causes you to cause you to say, hey, I'm in a fight, so I want everybody to join me in the fight. No, you are in the fight. Yes, we're going to join you in the fight, but you're in the fight all by yourself. You've got to get ready for the fight. Amen. And so in order to get ready for the fight, we got to know that you have an enemy out there. This enemy don't like you. He doesn't like me. And he's a dirty, vicious fighter. In fact, the Bible said he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You know, the very first time that they came in contact, the man came in contact with the devil, was in the Garden of Eden, and he used a serpent to come across and tempt Eve, and told Eve that he was a lie. He told the very first lie. Did you know that? And that's why Jesus said, when he talked to the Pharisees, he said, you're like your father, the devil. He was a liar from the beginning. And that's what he comes to us today, to tell us a lie. You can't make it. You're not going to be successful. You're not even saved. You're not a Christian. do you think Jesus is going to come again? Oh, you might as well live and drink and be merry because tomorrow you're going to die and after death there's nothing. No, he's a liar. He tricked Eve in the garden and told her, that said, listen, eat this fruit. The Lord God knows that if you eat this fruit, you're not going to die. Just eat it. And so Eve ate the fruit, and then she gave it to her husband, Adam, and he ate. And then their eyes were opened, and they realized that they were naked, and they began to stitch together some fig leaves around themselves. And in the cool of the evening, I like this. It says, God walked in the garden, Brother Tim. And he said, Adam, where art thou? He knew where Adam was. Amen. But he wanted them to know. Sometimes God asks you a question, he already knows the answer. And he already knows what Adam had done. And Adam came and said, well, we hid because we were naked and we did not want you to see us. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Did you eat the fruit out of the garden that I told you not to eat? Adam said, we did. And he said that Eve, this woman that you gave me, see, we always try to blame somebody else, especially us men. This wife you gave me. Well, you know, you don't have to do it. You don't have to go along with it. This wife that you gave me, you know, caused me to eat this fruit. Or this person that came in my life provokes me for me to carry on. No. You make a choice, and Adam made a choice. He ate the fruit. Amen. He was tricked by the devil's lie. Don't you know the devil is lying to this world right now? He's telling them all kind of lies. You know, he's speaking lies. Do you know that in Revelation chapter 21, it says that all liars will find their place in the lake of fire. Some people tell lies every time they open up their mouths. And you can say what you want. Well, they're being used of God. They're not being used of God. They are a liar. People that tell lies will go to hell. Amen. They will not enter into the kingdom of God. That's why we got to be careful. You know, and my mother used to say this to me. She said, Max, she says, to act a lie is the same as telling a lie. You know, there's some people will not condemn a lie, and they know it's a lie. So they're acting like it's the truth. So they act a lie, it's the same as them telling a lie. We have to sometimes call out liars. Now, the Bible says speak the truth in love. We don't say it in a nasty way. We don't say it in a harsh way. But we still speak the truth. Now, Pilate said, what is truth? And Jesus, that was the question. I think that's the question that people are asking today. Let's try to define what truth is. We can look at truth. You know, it's obviously an absence of a lie. It's an honest answer. Over in the Old Testament, it was the word emeth, which meant stability, trustworthiness, firm, steadfast, faithful, secure, reliable. In the New Testament, it was aletheia, standing, certain, reliable, steadfast. And so when the Apostle Paul says, put on truth, he's saying, I want you to stabilize yourself. Hallelujah. You got to get stable. You got to know who you are. You got to understand that God is with you. So that therefore you're girding your loins about with truth. You're putting on truth right now. You're stabilizing yourself with the belt. Amen. I look a lot of times, and I'm not going to go too far on these cultural types of things that people are doing now, but you see a lot of these young boys, sometimes you like to tell them, can I buy you a belt? Because their pants is drooping and all you're seeing is their drawers. I meant to go into a restaurant out in California, said, you cannot come into this restaurant with your pants sagging. And I think that was credible to them because they said, nobody wants to look at your pants sagging when they're eating their grits. All right. I'm sorry. You don't have to pay me for that. That was just a little bit extra that I threw in there. Amen. But anyway, it's something about having a belt on to hold up your pants. to stabilize you, to protect you. Amen. And the Word of God, when Jesus came into the world, and we read there in John chapter 1, verses chapter 9, I think Reverend Deacon Wilkins read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it says down in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the Father, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. He was the living Word of God. So if you try to equate the two, you can see that the Word and the truth are the same. So therefore, when you are girding yourself about with truth, you're girding yourself about with the Word of God. All right, let's go back a little bit further, because if you look at Psalms 119, and I was sharing before we started, Psalms 119 is the longest book in the Bible. But it's talking the entire time about the Word and how the psalmist loved the Word of God. In Psalms 119, he says, "With my whole heart I have sought you." This is verse 10. "And oh, let me not wander from your commandments, from your word." Psalms 119, verses 151. "You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth." All your word is true. Paul encouraged Timothy to study, to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. In Psalms 119, verse 160, it says, "The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endure forever." So we can see that truth and the Word are interchangeable. Truth, the Word, and Jesus. Jesus is the truth. He said over there in Psalms, he said, the truth came through, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 9 says, in John, the first chapter, "That was the true light which came, gives light to every man coming into the world." Verse 17 of St. John says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." And Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." See, that when the truth comes, it sets us free. Now, why was Jesus talking about the truth coming? In the Old Testament, there was nothing, there was the law that they were living. But what Jesus was saying, listen, I'm going to reveal myself to you as the living Word of God. I am the truth that has come into this world. And if you embrace me, if you receive me, if you put me on, if you put on this belt place, I will keep you safe and secure, because I am the mighty Word of God, the living Word of God. I am the truth. Hallelujah. I know in the basketball arena, they used to have this guy, I think his name was Pierce, and his nickname was the truth. He was genuine, and when he took a shot, Brother Tim, they knew it was going to be true. And so that's why they ended up calling him the truth, amen. But see, he was nowhere close to the truth, amen. A lot of people think that the absence of a lie is what Jesus is talking about being the truth. No, he was talking about something deeper than that. He was talking about a spiritual knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is the truth. Did you know God is true? And every man is a liar, let God be true. Did you know the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth? All three of them, Jesus is the truth, the Holy Spirit is the truth, and God the Father is the truth. Hallelujah. Thank you today. All three members of the Godhead are true. I'm just so tired of lies. Everything people put out there now on Facebook, and they put out lies on Twitter, and they lie on newscasts, and they know they're telling lies. But you know what? It's good to hear the truth. John 14, verse 6, let's look at that, where Jesus said to them, to his disciples, when they were trying to figure, to understand him, he said, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you had known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will be sufficient for us. Verse 9 says, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who sent me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us, who have seen me have seen the Father? How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am the Father? I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. And the words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me and works in me. Jesus was saying that the God is the truth. See, we didn't really know the truth until Jesus came. We didn't know the truth that of the Word of God, where God was preparing for us a way back to him. We didn't understand all of that in the Old Testament. But when Jesus came, he came and he brought forth the truth. Amen. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 15, speak the truth in love. Speak honestly on speaking of God's word. In other words, when we speak, when he says speak the truth, he's saying speak to somebody about the truth of Jesus Christ and say it in love. If you're going to witness to somebody, don't go tell them that you are just an old sinner and you need to get saved. No, you got to speak the truth in love. God loves you. The truth is he wants to be your savior. He wants to be your friend. And it's never too late for God to work. God told Abraham when Sarai, he told him that, Sarah, you're going to have a baby, and Sarah laughed. And God said, why are you laughing? He said, there's nothing too hard for me. See, the truth is, let me go back. The truth is, the natural truth is that Sarah was too old to have a baby. She was 90 years old. She was beyond childbearing age. And so when the man said that she was going to have a baby, when God, she just laughed, like, how can that happen? But the truth, see, that was the natural truth. But the spiritual truth says that if God said it, it's going to happen. See, the promises of God are the truth. He said that I will give you strength. Let the weak say that they're strong, and they that have no might, I give it strength. That's the truth. The truth is that they're weak. But the spiritual truth is that they can say that they're strong, and God will make them strong. The word of God is truth, putting away speaking all lies and evil. Amen. But speak the word of God in truth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 speaks about that how we should speak the word of God, putting away all lying. Do you know all liars are going to find their way into the lake of fire? And we have to understand that we have to tell the truth. There's another scripture in the Bible that said, tell the truth even to your own hurt. Tell the truth even if it's going to hurt you. You got the seal, tell the truth. If you don't mind, I remember years ago, I was working for a Fortune 500 company, and I had the largest deal that they had ever done. And I had put the deal together, but some personal things had come up with, and I couldn't do the final review until the morning of the time that it was being presented to the president of the company. And I went into, when I started doing my review, I got up early and I did my review, and I said, oh my goodness, here is an error. And the enemy said to me, you know what, Max, they're not going to find this thing for 10 years. Plus, that is not consequential. So you don't have to say anything about it. Just go ahead and present it. But you know what? This scripture stuck with me, said, tell the truth even to your own hurt. So when I went into the vice president and told them that I had made a calculation error, it didn't jeopardize the deal because there was so much net worth there that it did not impact upon the deal, but it wasn't correct. I was thrown out of the office by the vice president, said, get out of my office, senior vice president. I don't even want to see your face. Hallelujah. But you know what? I felt good because I told the truth. And then when I got called back in to present the deal, I presented the deal to the president of the company, and he approved it. He says, this is a good deal, good return. But that senior vice president never apologized to me. Amen. But you know what? I was able to go. It took all the joy of making the biggest deal the company had done. It took that joy away. The devil was trying to take it away. But you know, the joy that we have in doing, telling the truth and being true to the word of God is greater than any lie that you can tell. Sometimes people say, I can just tell the lie and get away with it. No, you never get away with it. You always should tell the truth. Amen. The word is true. Jesus is the living word of God. And so the girding yourself up with your loins up with truth is basically pulling up the loins and tucking it around so that you can stand firm. You're able to move. You're able to fight the enemy. And that's why you pull up the belt. Sometimes they pull up their robes and tuck it under their belt so that they would be able to fight and to stand against the enemy's power. And what Paul saw was in the Roman Empire, when they would be sitting there next to him, they would take off their armor, and then they would take off the belt and lay it to the side so that they would be loose and relaxed. But when they had to get up, the first thing they did was grab that belt, hitch up those pants. Well, it wasn't pants. It was really a robe. And hitch it up, amen, and tuck it in that belt so they had some maneuverability and that they would be able to go out and fight against the enemy. So what are we supposed to do when we, just from a personal perspective, when we're going against the devil, how do we gird our loins about from a spiritual standpoint? First of all, you got to create a strategy for living. The belt covers the creative portions of you. It's something that inside of you that causes you to create. You know, men create and women create a child down in that realm. It's a creation of a baby. It's a birth of an idea. And so it's the same thing from a spiritual standpoint. There is a truth that has to be come forward through us during that time. We have to have a strategy for how we move forward. You know, there's a strategy for a painter has a blank page in which they draw on. That's where their creativity comes from. So many times there's others that a carpenter takes a blank piece of wood and chisels on it and make it into something special. That's where there's a creativity that takes place. What about us? What kind of creativity do we have? How are we going to stand against the devil's power? How are we going to fight against him? We have to develop a strategy. All right, I'm going to give you seven things for a strategy. I hope I have enough time. One is, whenever you get ready to go into the battle, whenever you're getting ready to face the enemy, first of all, don't panic. Just know that you have God on your side. Jesus said to him, don't be afraid. When you see the storms coming, don't be afraid. Don't panic. You got Jesus on the boat with you. Hallelujah. The next thing you do is that you got to make up your mind that you're going to persevere through this. This thing is not going to take you out. It's not strong enough to defeat you, because you have girded your loins about with truth, and the word of God said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You've got to persevere. The next thing you have to do, you have to exercise some patience. Trouble doesn't last always. Some of the problems, you can outlast the problem if you just stay on task and keep doing what you're supposed to do. Problems don't last all the time. And then you have to have a plan, and you have to prioritize. What am I going to do to overcome this situation? Problems can be overcome by a good plan for success. Follow the plan. Develop a plan. This is your goal. This is how you're going to get through it. Hallelujah. Work your plan. And your plan is going to work you. Hallelujah. Develop a plan. Establish some priorities. What is the most prioritized thing that you need to do in order to get through this thing? Don't get distracted by all of the small things, the inconvenience. So many people, all they do is respond to the inconvenience. How do I make myself more comfortable? Sometimes you just have to go through the uncomfortability, and you got to work your way and to work your plan. Then you have to have a positive perspective. You know what, God, you're still on my side. I have the word of God. I'm still dwelling on the word of God. I'm still trusting in you. I see the situation through the perspective of the word of God. David, when you get really in a bind and say, this is the end, I can't make it, read the word of God. Read the truth. David was at Ziklag, and they had come and taken his wife and his children and everyone around him, and they said, they spoke of stoning David. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. Hallelujah. Sometimes you've got to encourage your own self in the Lord. Encourage your own self in the word of God. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Find yourself a promise. Repeat that promise out loud. Speak that promise back to the devil. Tell him, devil, you're a liar. Hallelujah. You have no authority in this situation. Hallelujah. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You can resist him through the word of God. Then you have to penetrate the situation through prayer. You got to continue to pray. Prayer changes things. This poor man cried and God heard him and delivered him out of all of his problems. Pray the answer and not the problem. Psalms 91 and verse 2, amen. You've got to pray till the answer, that the situation manifests, the answer already has come. You're just waiting till your circumstance manifests itself and aligns itself with your answer. And then you have to have a passion for the word of God. Take time to read the word of God. You can find the promises of the Bible for all your situations. Begin to say what Jesus has said about the situation. Speak the word over the situation. Do you know you can actually put your headphones on while you're moving about? You can get Bible.is and listen to the word of God being read to you. You can go to Cornerstone's mobile app, amen, and you can tune into any message that I preach. You can listen to this message again next Wednesday or Thursday. Amen. It'll be online. It will be on our mobile app. All you have to do is plug it in and pull it up. Amen. And then you have to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Only God can bring you through these things. Sometimes you have to say, I'm depending upon the Spirit of truth. Jesus said this, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You can make it because the power that is in you. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18 says that the same power that raised up Jesus Christ, the same power, the same power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead is available to you and I. Okay? Let's go through those points again. One, you got to have peace in the midst of the storm so you do not panic. You got to press your way through. You got to persevere. You got to show patience. Then there's also, I guess I skipped over this, there's also a power of praise. Praise God in the midst of the situation. Even though you don't see it, even though you don't feel it, even though you don't know how the answer is going to come, I will yet praise you. Hallelujah. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. God is going to bring you through, so you still got to praise him. And then you have to plan and prioritize. Then you have to have a positive perspective. And then you have to penetrate this thing through prayer. Then you have to have the passion for the word. And then you have to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Gird your loins about with truth. The truth is the word of God. Tell the truth. Amen. I have to use this one last example. Do anybody remember the old TV program, Tell the Truth? And three people pretended to be the same person. And then finally, the one would stand up, and that was the real true person. I want you to know that the devil has a lot of imitators out there. Hallelujah! But will the true truth stand up? Will the true word of God stand up? His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Tell the truth. Amen. God bless you.